Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Support for this podcast comes from the patrons at patreon.com/FMLFPL.
FMLBL Milan.
It's Walsh.
How we doing, buddy?
Wild card, baby.
It's time
to break out of the upper 3 millions and enter the lower 3 millions.
There we go.
My body is ready for the rise.
It's a fun time, though.
Yeah, it's fun. The world is your oyster, this and that.
It's almost like you're playing a not FPL quality fantasy game for a week. For a week, then, you get to make lots of decisions and lots of changes, and then you go back to playing FPL once the game week starts, and you're like, can't do that. Can't get that guy.
Reality. Dose of reality is...
two moves, I'll have to dock points from my team.
How about you? How are you doing over there?
Yeah, I'm good. It was a crazy weekend. I mean, I'm mad at the schedule makers for, you know, all four great games on Sunday being on at the exact same time, but we did what we could. We watched highlights, we watched the games, we did, you know, a lot of action. It's a lot of action.
Yeah, I watched a lot of good games on this weekend. It was a fun weekend for sure.
And then I left, and I think you left too. I think we both missed the 8-0.
I planned to watch 0 seconds of that game.
I was like leaving. My dad's like, so do you have any guys in this game? I'm like, no, but a lot of people get like Newcastle defenders. So like, you know, hopefully Sheffield United score, but they suck. And like, you know, it'll probably be a Newcastle clean, and check my phone later. Oh, 6-0. Oh, 8-0. I'm like, oh, like try triple return, double return. I'm just like, oh, okay. My 500K green arrow is now a 500K red arrow. So
yeah,
but I don't really care. Who cares?
Yeah. What are you going to do? One of those.
So why'd you rip the wild card?
I just feel like I needed to get Mo. Like it was enough was enough. Where I'm just sitting with players that are kind of a mess. Like Rashford.
Yeah, here's
just,
the team.
Rashford tilted me over the edge. Really, like ultimately, just the experience of owning him and watching. I think I've watched every Man United game this year. Awful. Just absolutely horrendous. Six games of how many hours that is added up? I don't want to do the math.
Well, that it's that, and it's also, you know, many seasons of him being kind of disappointing and frustrating, you know, not last season, but before that, right?
Yeah, and, you know, So that was a big pain point. And obviously the Chilwell situation and the Chelsea, you know, obviously I got rid of Nico. That was a huge, huge gainer on that move. But, you know, having Chilwell and Sterling still, my defense with Henry is in shambles. And
yeah.
I just had, you know, I mean, I have like Gahee, who's in air quotes fine, but, you know, not in the context of the rest of my defense. I have like Saliba, who I don't really want anymore. They're about to have some The whole thing was just kind of a mess, and I
just
still
it feels bad when you looked at your team. Yeah,
it just felt bad. Like, I mean, I'm not going to make 9 changes or something. I mean, I'm probably going to keep Saka, Son, Haaland. You know, probably Alvarez. We'll come on to talk about City at some point. Like, maybe Udogie, probably Udogie. I don't know, but
yeah.
Ultimately there are going to be some heads rolling. So that's kind of what I was looking at. I mean, I had 73 this week, which was like, I don't know, bad, I guess.
I guess my yeah, it was that's actually a solid score. I mean, you went up, it's around what like most of the top teams' average was. But what I was gonna follow up question is just like, so last week I feel like we both kind of agreed like it doesn't feel like a good wild card week. There's so many unknowns and there's not like a clear template group of guys to get. But then this week you're pulling the wild card. So do you feel like that core group grew? Because I feel like it did with the Newcastle game and some other things, to where it's not like 3-4 guys, it's like, you know, 6-7 guys now maybe that are like nailed.
Yeah. I felt like Saka, Salah, Son, Haaland is like that should be the base of every team. So
not Alvarez.
No, not Alvarez. I mean, okay. Well, that's interesting. We could just start talking about City right now. I mean, they have Wolves this week, and then their run is at Arsenal, home Brighton, at Man United, home Bournemouth, at Chelsea, home Liverpool, home Spuds, at Villa.
Is that good?
It's not good.
Yeah.
I think there's one home banker, home Bournemouth, and the rest of the fixtures is just, they're just bad. You know,
tough one where it's, you know, it's the same old story always with City, right? It's like, does it matter? You know, by far best team in the world, you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know yet, but that, yeah, I hear you. That's something to think about. I mean, I don't know if anyone gives a shit about my team. I scored 69 points, went down a little bit. Who cares? Move on. Let me do league updates. One more game week of September, I think. Yeah. Game week 7 still September. So shout out to the leader so far for the Mug League, the Prize League, the Patreon League. Blake Matthew, aka Yank FC, Hannes Bjartmar, aka Diogo J and Silent B, and a tie for third place between Adam Nepp, aka Kulu has Live Sports, and Rob Valencia Cook, aka Mount Madness, leader of the public league. Good job by you, Zach Marcus, aka Cuck Fitty. You should be Cuck Tier if you're gonna name yourself Cuck Fitty, but that's a different thing. But where do we begin?
I mean, there's so many jumping off points. I wanted to, so I mean, many. You.
How about Chelsea? Quickly,
yeah, fine. Go.
I mean, they're a disaster. They are a big part of the reason, I think, that sparked you to wild card. I'm still here, not on wild card. Maybe by the end of the pod, I will be on wild card, but I'm on triple Chelsea, the Chilwell, Cole, Raz. You know, Wallace and Plady asking about what to do with Chilwell. Is he a possible hold with the Gusto Red, or is he easy transfer out? You know, Bear asking, what do I do? I have Nico, Raz, and Chilwell, so much pain. You know, Plady and Aaron asking about Raz. And what the fuck are we doing here with this team? And every week, no goals, drop points. In games that they should be picking up points, good underlines, you know, until the red card, kind of controlling the game until the red card, and then, you know, just lose and don't create chances after the red card, except for that Chilwell one. I don't know. What's the deal? All out, right?
Well, for me, it's obviously that's for wild very card, easy, but what are no you, question. I mean, what are you looking at here?
I mean, Colwell, I think, is still just underratedly completely fine. I mean, their defense has been...
4-5 defender, whatever.
Yeah, their defense has been steady. He's 4-5. He's nailed. He's actually getting some attacking chances even. But even if he wasn't, I think he's still fine. Yeah. So
that's like whatever. He has 2 startable fixtures right now also coming in.
Yeah, like, don't need to talk about him. Like, obviously, if you have Gusto, get him out of your team. He's banned for 3 games. And then their fixtures turn. But yeah, I mean, Nico obviously also instant transfer out. I mean, he's suspended. He's a joke, whatever. Chilwell,
Raz. Wait a minute. He's a joke, right?
I mean,
It's he has banned for a game, and you're fine. Now you can tell him, so you get rid of him.
Well, the ban is not just a ban. Like, honestly, if he headbutted someone Darwin style, I would feel like a little more okay with him than a fifth yellow for dissent after Poch publicly is like, this guy is a fucking idiot. He needs to not do this. I'm telling him not to do it every day, and he still does it. And then he does it. Like, it's unbelievable. It's actually unbelievable. But yeah, I did put the units on anytime goal scorer. I mean, when Alvarez blanked, I was like, this is 100% nailed that Nico's punishing Walsh here. But even the lore.
The lore doesn't even help him. Even
when the lore at his back can't even, lift him up. But,
I mean, he's got to be like second in the league in NPXG behind Haaland, right? I mean, how could he not be?
Yeah, I mean, he's up there for sure. I mean, there's no question about that.
Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting person this guy is. It's unbelievable how quickly he has turned the tables against him within a matter of a month. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, non-penalty XG per 90, he's fifth and Haaland is first.
Okay.
And then non-penalty XG total, he's second to Haaland because he's started every game. And the other guys that are in between have him is Darwin, Callum, and Ferguson. Yeah. So there you go. But yeah, Trench is a tragic side from him. And my favorite part of the Chelsea questions is Harley Boyd said, I'm trying to zag while everybody else is zigging. How essential is Broya about to be now that he's fit and Nico's serving his suspension? I was just like, great minds think alike. Like Sunday, I was trying to convince Walsh for Broya on his wild card. Like, I love it. I love that thought. But Raz, I mean, he's definitely on the chopping block. Like, I'm at the point where I'm like, if my team is greatly improved, I have two frees this week with three moves and a hit, and that involves getting Raz out, that seems totally fine to me. You know, like, he's not a one-man machine. He's not Haaland, right? Like, he needs other people around him to cut back to. He needs other people to create the chances. He's just alone, you know? And like, as bad as Nico's been, he was still part of the attacks even when Raz was a better pick, right? And so it just hurts him. And Chilwell out of the team hurts him too. Honestly, I still believe that. So, I mean, he might leave my team this week. I haven't really tinkered that much with transfers, even with the good, really good next two fixtures. I think it's totally fine to move him. Chilwell, I think, is a classic. You could find reasons to hold him with the Mallow red, but you should probably just get rid of him and not even think about it. Do you agree with that?
I disagree with the first part. I can't find reasons to hold him. I think that's insane. Yeah, you have.
Find reasons, I guess I meant like talk yourself into it.
Like what? He's going to play right back?
No, the whole slide over, the electric slide over, Disasi's right back and Chilwell's left back.
I mean, he's the most urgent removal in the world. But yeah, I think with Raz's, I agree with all of your points. It's just, look at his fucking season. 2-2-19 home Luton triple return 2-2-2. I mean, he's fucking blanked every game except for home Luton in the game in the year so far. It's just you don't need to overthink it, really. It's just first few games we're giving them the benefit of the doubt. Luton game, okay, they have easy fixtures, they can kick on, and then it's just haven't scored a goal against home NFO, at Bournemouth, home Villa. The season's too short to hold on to players on teams that are sinking ships, thinking that this might be the week. No fixture is easy. At Craven Cottage, for a bad team, doesn't scream goals. You know, I mean, they should just comfortably lose or 0-0 draw. Like, that's how I expect that game to go.
Yeah, and,
I think Raz is just a bad pick.
It sounds stupid, but like, if you focus your team on transferring out your worst performing assets, that's a general good strategy, right? There's a lot of weeks, and we fall in this trap as well, where it's like, oh, I want to get this guy, so I'm going to make my defensive move or forward move instead of my mid who's blanking every game. But usually getting rid of the guy who blanks every game is better, because your forward that you really want to get might blank, and the guy that you already have might score, and that's FPL, baby. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, okay. there's such a stench. It's really rough, and it's gonna be interesting to see like how Poch and ownership react to this, because I mean this is horrendous. Yeah. They had like the easiest run outside of the Liverpool game week one in the entire league.
Oh yeah,
easily. And they're just not getting points.
Yeah. And I mean, they have the at Fulham, at Burnley, and then they're about to have a really, really brutal run for, you know, a month and a half, 2 months, basically.
Home Arsenal, home Brentford, at Spurs, home City, yeah, at Newcastle, home Brighton, at Man United, at Everton, and then, you know, yeah, then that's better, yeah, for that. December, but that's crazy bad.
Yeah.
I can't wait to bring in Nkuku for at Everton game week 16, though.
Yeah, right.
Earmark that in my plans.
Right. I mean, the Broge question is... it's obviously somewhat tongue-in-cheek, because I'm sure long-time listeners of the pod know our previous with the Hodel Broge. But he's 4-9.
He's 4-9.
There's no way he can play 90 minutes right now. So he's probably in the, you know, between 55 and 70-minute mark for the next couple of games, I would guess.
Yeah.
And after the next two games, they have a horrendous run. So... I don't really see what you're doing there or how you're doing a good thing, you know?
Yeah.
It's just hard for me to imagine that. I do think he's a very, 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 very good player. I just don't get like, what's the angle? Am I missing something there?
I mean, it's just a potential like game-breaking kind of thing if he were to get the spot and just, you know, secure it. Like, Poch is historically just stuck with his guys, stick with the winning 11, stick with the guys who are performing, doing what he wants. I mean, he can't be happy with Nico Jackson missing every chance and dissenting every game, right? So, Broja comes in, let's just say he scores and they win. Like, he's just going to keep starting. Like, I don't think he has any allegiance. Even if he's
starting, just say he's starting. I think he's starting. I'm not even questioning that. I mean, I think he's going to be at least given a run of 5-6 games starting. But I mean, is he going to get points? Like, I don't believe he's going to get points. Yeah, I think he will.
I mean, you compare him to the other cheap starters are like Morris and Archer. Like, they're on the worst two teams in the league, right? It's like, Chelsea are still going to get chances. Right, and that this is where like that underlying argument comes into play, right? It's like you can underline all you want, but if you're Nico Jackson, you're dissenting and you're missing every chance, it's not great. But like, you know, they'll probably lose a bunch of those games, but I still think they're going to score goals. You know, like Arsenal give up chances on the counter, Spurs give up chances all day, every day. You know, Brighton give up chances. You know, like that. If he actually is starting and Chelsea are starting to play into a little bit of better form, partially by nature of him starting over Nico, I think there's goals there, but you know, it's probably an unnecessary risk, and it's probably not a spot that you're ever going to really start, you know. And I think that like dents the appeal a lot, also, right? It's like, starting, he's going to be like second on your bench, best case ever, right? Yeah. Like,
yeah, I'm definitely not as bullish of like this Chelsea scoring goals in the next run as you are, I think.
Well, the easy games are sometimes harder. You know what I mean? Like the game plan is harder, right? For like home NFO and, you know, whatever at West Ham, like that's easy. And like, they're obviously heavily favored, but I think like a game plan perspective, it's a more difficult, complicated route to goals. Whereas like, if they pick up a little bit of form and they're just countering 2v2 at Spurs, that's the easier thing, even though it's a tougher game. You know what I mean?
I guess I'm not putting them not doing well because their game plan is bad. I'm putting them not doing well because the squad is a fucked up mess. No one knows what to do and no one's played together before. So I don't really, I mean, maybe they'll have an easier time when they can let the other team dictate terms. I just don't think, you know, when you score 0 goals in 3 easy ass fuck fixtures that, you know, and you're losing players, you know, to bans, to this, to that, like looking at their players available, I'm like, this is not going to be getting better anytime soon.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I think because with Broge, it's like there's no sense in paying extra for him to put him on the Archer spot. So if you have him, you basically are saying I'm starting him. Otherwise, yeah. I don't think that it makes sense. From a game playing strategy standpoint, the only other case
for him would be like it's a lottery ticket, and maybe I get lucky, and maybe he's just a great pick. But that's all it is.
Yeah,
but
what I'm saying is like you need to structure your team like where you're putting a lot of stress on him, because if you're not, you know, what's the lottery ticket? If you buy him, you put him in, and the rest of your team is like, I'm playing this $5 million forward. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think the lottery ticket for me, if I was building a team, if you have the money, I don't even know if you do, would be like, just going to treat him like he's second or third on the bench. And maybe 3 weeks from now, I'm like, oh, he's fucking amazing. And I'm going to start him every week. Yeah. And like, but I have an extra really good attacker. Yeah.
But then you just transfer him in at that point. He's so cheap, right? I mean, do you need a stash for that?
No, you don't. Probably. You don't. Yeah. But
I see what you're saying, Lou. Yeah.
I like the thinking.
Yeah.
Is all. We could go to Man United, another underperforming team with a lot of assets, and another reason why you're wildcarding.
Yep.
So Aaron said, do I just -8 Rashford out to get Mo and fodder? Brendo said, what are your thoughts on Hoyland as a replacement for Bastard Man Jr., a.k.a. Nico Jackson?
That is a stunning one for me. People are considering him to transfer him in?
Yes. I guess that's how few forwards there are in the game. Yeah.
I'm out of touch there.
Bruno scored the worldie. I don't feel good with Bruno on my team. I mean, did you see that fucking 11?
Sports Social, now on the Sports Social Podcast Network.
This is Pedro from the Arsenal Opinion Podcast, and I am hyped about the title running. Can Arsenal pit Pep and Klopp? Will our young squad be described as mentality monsters? Is Mikel Arteta truly a generational saucy manager? Come and join us on the Arsenal Opinion Podcast to follow the boys on this historic 2024 Premier League title run-in and hear analysis of the games, the hottest transfer rumours, the Arsenal culture, and the business of football. 3 times a week exclusively on the Sports Social Podcast Network. Search the Arsenal Opinion now and come and join the fun.
Did you see the game?
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
Those things go hand in hand, right? It's like...
Yeah, I mean, it's... I mean, Bruno and Rash, like, just comparing them and seeing the season so far, kind of interesting. This just, like, the perception of owning them or what they've been doing. But, I mean, there was also the element, it seemed like to me, where, you know, you're looking at an old, thin, bad squad in the middle of like a fixture pileup, and you know,
and an injury crisis.
Yeah, injury surprise. Old players lose availability. You know, could never have imagined that. Like you buy, you know, people who are, you know, assaulters like Anthony stuck in Brazil. You know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
They seem to just not even really attempt to play against Burnley, honestly. I mean, that was one of the most damning performances I've ever seen in my life of the manager of the Ten Hogs. It was I mean, they're playing a promoted team. I mean, it's not like they were playing Villa where it's like, oh yeah, you know, good team, you know, Villa's good team. Like,
yeah, they were playing, let's just sit on our lead. Like,
they're playing Burnley, who have like 20-year-olds everywhere. And it wasn't remotely competitive at all. I mean, it was not even close to being a competitive game. They just sat back and basically parked.
They scored a worldie and just sat on the lead. Yeah.
They created nothing, and they just didn't even seem interested in the game. You know, luckily for them, Burnley's players are Burnley's players. So when they get into the box, they don't know what the fuck to do.
They're so bad.
Yeah, it's similar to the Chelsea thing where I'm like, why would this get better? I can't create that line.
Yeah,
You know, everything I think about is it gets worse. You know,
if you told me magically everyone was fit, I could make a case. You know, like next week, I'm just like, okay, yeah, defense will get better, the ball progression will get better. You know, Bruno won't be playing right wing, yada yada yada. But that's obviously not the scenario. Everyone, a new person gets hurt every week, and a new like youth player and or. I haven't played at the club for 15 years. Johnny Evans gets inserted into the 11 every week. That's reality. So,
I mean, McSauce is out there starting a couple games in a row. Like,
yeah, I think they're definitely not where you want to be in fantasy. despite the like just greenish color of their fixtures. I don't even think they're that good. I mean, obviously at Sheffield United and Game Week 9 is good, but like home Palace, home Brentham, like those are be really hard games for them, I think. Like those are going to be like combative, low scoring, difficult for them to create any chances of note games. I mean, maybe I'm totally wrong, but that's how I'm seeing it. So I don't really see the upside that much with holding.
No, and I mean, they had, I mean, they didn't have Hojlund's, but everyone was available Game Week 1, Game Week 2. They looked like fucking dog shit. They've looked like dog shit all season. This was the worst performance for me, though, that I've seen them play. And that is saying something, because there are very, very high contenders for that claim. It's a mess. I mean, it's just a mess. Yeah. And yeah, I think it's, you don't want to be anywhere near this team right now as they continue to play more games with less players, and they look completely like a complete mess. It's getting worse. It's just getting worse. I mean, we said this last week, right? I was high, very critical of them last week.
Yeah. And it's gotten worse. I mean, because the Brighton game was, in my opinion, was the worst. Like, that was just like, what are you doing? You know exactly how Brighton are going to play, and this is how you set up, and but you get exploited.
The same thing happened against Burnley.
Burnley
could have 3-1 them.
I know, it wasn't close.
The game wasn't close. It was Burnley. At least the other game was Brighton, is fucking top five team or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Either way, totally. I mean, again, it's, we're arguing over which is the worst. Like, they're both
which
terrible.
Which is the worst performance.
They've all been bad. They're bad. So, yeah, I think it's time to just...
It's like revisit in 2 months. If they, you know, if results improve, it's like, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
See you then, you know.
Yeah.
Get them then or whatever. But
Yeah,
I'm with you. Yeah. Okay. That was a quick one. Don't need much more there. Where to next?
Well, I mean, let's go to Newcastle, I guess. 8-0, obviously. He did the thing, right? Callum started. It looks like he is going to be trying to prioritize. I mean, you know, I think they have a City, I think, in the league.
Yeah,
cup.
They have City in the cup.
So, I mean, this is going to be a long segment, so let's get into it.
Okay.
what did the 8-0 really tell us? Like, I'm still not sure, honestly, because they played some reserves. I mean, they lost Barnes. Sheffield United are just, you know, they're Sheffield United. But, you know, they're still coming into, like, the Milan game. Everything went for the 0-0. They have this other midweek game here coming up that, you know, it looks like he's prioritizing. And then they have Paris, like, the next midweek.
Yep.
I mean, their B team and their same 4-3-3 structure, they're good enough to beat, obviously, Sheffield United, Burnley coming up, Wolves, you know, maybe Palace, West Ham, you know, which is, I'm naming the next four fixtures out of order. And then it gets a little bit shakier.
Interestingly, out of order.
Yeah. And then it gets a little bit shakier. You know, Game Week 11, it's, you know, some good, some bad, kind of, you know, home games in there. But, like, I mean, because now, I'm just trying to parse away, like, they have 8-0, get all the defenders in. But a week ago, we were kind of like, okay, you know, it's fine. You know, Botman, you know, maybe Trips, like maybe. I mean, does that one game tilt it and tip it over to like, oh my God, like it's so obvious. Like, of course, like everyone get Trips. Like, I'm still not there. I might be crazy.
A week ago, I was saying, if I was on wildcard, Botman 100% and Trips very likely in my team. And that's what I was saying on the pod, right? And I think that this just made Trips from very likely to, I would almost definitely find a way to put him in my team. I mean, that's right. It. And that's all it's done. It hasn't really changed. I'm not bringing in fucking like Bruno G, right? I'm not bringing in Gordon on four yellows. I'm not bringing in Almiron. Like, Burn and Bauman scoring goals is actually like never. When's the last time they fucking score goals? Actually, I think Burn did score one last season, but. Yeah. Botman?
He hasn't scored. Well, he could have had a few last year. I mean, he's tough to watch in the box. But yeah, no, I mean, it went back to the thing of Trips clean sheets aren't four, but the other ones are. Like, you know, we can recycle that. We talked about that last year ad nauseum.
Yeah. But yeah, basically that's where I am. Is like, yeah, they're the number one defenders to get. And I think that's cemented even more true after this. And that's all I have for it. You know, it's like, you're looking for a Chilwell replacement, you're looking for a Henry replacement, you're looking for, you know, I don't even know, so you want to get rid of Saliba, whatever it is, whatever defender slot you're changing, Gusto, you know, you should probably just get a Newcastle guy.
And that, so what that, are they, that is. Where do you see them in terms, I mean, they have low key just kind of picked up where they left off last year defensively, right? I mean, they didn't keep it clean for the first handful of games. And yeah. Then now they have a couple in a row, a few in a row, if you count the Milan game. I mean, they got battered by Brighton, lost to City. The Liverpool game was like, that was such a weird game.
Yeah.
I mean, is like, how do you view them defend? Like, they play Arsenal at home game week 11. Is that like good? Like, do we look at them as City defenders? Like, where you just start, if you have them in your team, you just start them automatically?
Trips, for sure. I think he's in a different category, right? The assists, the bones, like in a loss, he can score a goal and, you know, whatever. But yeah, I mean, I think that even pre 8-0, if you just take them by the numbers, it's like they kind of have just picked up where they left off. They're just a good team. Like, we just still aren't used to them being good, so it's still weird. And obviously, they lost 3 in the bounce. But those were away City, home Liverpool, away Brighton. I mean, you can... Yeah. Those are
some of the
as difficult as it gets, right?
Yeah, for sure.
The other games, pre-Sheffield United, they beat the absolute fuck out of Villa, who are pretty decent sometimes. I don't know what the hell Villa are. And then they... easily coast after a penalty against Brentford and don't allow any chances, right? Yeah. Like, that's just who they were last year, and they've just continued being a good team. I think that, like, it remains to be seen if we need to make further adjustments, but for now, if I was getting trips, I would just be like, he's just starting every game.
Yeah, I mean, it's still like just hard for me to wrap my head around how they're going to actually be keeping cleans, you know, with regularity when they have all these games. I don't know.
Well, they definitely dodged a bullet with the Botman injury not really being anything. He missed one game, right? Yeah. So that was a huge bullet dodge. They're one injury away from me being like, ugh, the center back duo is really fucking bad, you know, or whatever. And you know, they were winning by so much that they were able to rest trips. He came off on like 60 something, right? So that's huge for them. They're old. But yeah, I mean, until something changes, I don't think there's any real reason to not go for these players.
Yeah.
What about on your wild card? How many do you think you'll have?
I mean, up to 3. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, Botman feels like he's pretty immovable just because...
Yeah, Botman's nailed in your team with the price.
Yeah, just the price, and, you know, I obviously like him a lot, and he's actually good, unlike Byrne. I mean, I've gone from anything. Like, I've played with 3 of them, I've played with 2, I've played with just Botman with more of like a rotational thing, and I don't know. You know, I don't know. I mean, the trips question on wildcard is very challenging because...
Yeah.
You know, you're basically sacrificing. I mean, I mentioned that core, the 4 earlier, that I can't imagine going without any of those 4 players.
But
if you get trips in, you know, you're basically saying, okay, I'm not getting Mata.
I mean, it's a funny old season where 4 weeks ago, we're like, wow, we don't need money at all, ever. Fast forward to your wild card, and people, I think people were having the same issue last week too with their wild card teams. It's just like Mo's 12.5, Son's 9, you know, Saka's approaching 9, you know, still have Haaland who's 14. Fuck.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, for sure.
Even last week, I was like, Trent is going to be the next bandwagon. Well, we might not be able to afford him. He's still 7.9. Where are we getting that money?
Yeah, I don't know. We're not. I mean, that's
we're
the
not,
answer.
Right? I mean, even if you found a way to have trips in your team, whatever sacrifices that took, you'd still have to find a 1.something million to get Trent.
Yeah.
If you want to like make that switch, it's just like, doesn't possible.
Yeah, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work at all.
Yeah.
But so that's the trips question in my tinkering so far that I'm going to have to answer by Friday night bedtime.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big one.
I have no idea. Yeah, I have no idea where I'm going to end up.
Yeah, I really don't think that that much, which is so weird, but I don't think that much was learned from the 8-0 or that much even really changed. Like if they won 1-0 with a trips assist or 8-0, yeah, I think we'd be on here saying like the same thing. Like, yeah, their defenders are good and Trips is a great pick and you should probably have him. Right. It's like,
yeah, I guess that's what I'm trying to separate from, like, I mean, we would, yeah, me for sure. But just like, it's now it's, but like, because he has got 18 points.
I mean, yeah.
Like how loud is that? Like how much is that like coloring, you know, my, cause I mean, I really like, you know, Matto, you know, I want to have him kind of, you know, and I like the idea of, you know, spreading it out more in defense. And it's just, it's a big bet to make, you know, getting trips. And, you know, we kind of played that last year with like, you know, trying to cover the cleans with the cheaper guys. And, you know, it's dangerous because
it's,
you know,
dangerous with this, him, especially. Yeah. I mean, it just doesn't seem to work because of like how he's built.
Yeah. It's like you're playing, you have to have two players to get his points from the same team, kind of, is how it seemed to work last year.
Right.
And so I don't know. But like, I don't feel very, I don't feel good enough like getting tripling on them. You know, like I don't think that's going to actually happen.
Seems like overkill, especially like, I know some people have been looking at Pope. It's like Ariel's 1.5 million cheaper, right? It's like, that's just ridiculous. Like, I'm not for that.
Yeah.
People will go Char, you know, like a lot of people last week on their wild cards went Botman Char, couldn't find a way to get trips. Like, I mean, it's good.
I could see doing that. I mean, there's no way. It's good. There's no way I'm having, there's no way I'm having Dan Byrne on my team. I don't, he could be fucking 3.5. He, I can't put it. He's not, he's
3.5.
You're not, he's not in. He's not in, baby.
Dude, that's hard. Yeah, you know,
I mean, Char Botman, like if it lets me keep Matto, like I could see myself kind of going there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. That's a really, really tough one for you. Yeah.
I mean, this has the propensity to just be like, 5 games pass, and I'm just like, what was I thinking? You know, trips just either does way. 9, 12.
Yeah, in either direction. Two. Like, you could get them, and they don't clean, and then they have their fixture run goes from good to bad, and, like, trips gets rested 1 game, and you're fucking furious that you went there. And then, the other way is, like, he just gets so many points as we kind of expect, and then you're just like, what the hell was I doing? Yeah. Tough one, man. Tough one. Let's talk about Liverpool West Ham, because I think that, well, I mean, we got a couple questions about Bowen. Fergening said, is Bowen worth the transfer in, or are you wary of the new manager bounce from insert manager's name here after Heckingbottom is sacked on Monday, which I don't think happened, but I feel you. And Ben said, which West Ham is the best to bring in for game week 7? Because their fixtures, well, I guess he just means for home Sheffield.
Yeah. I mean,
Bowen is good.
Who did Sheffield just play?
They just lost 8-0 to Newcastle.
How did all those goals get poured in?
A lot of set pieces. JWP bells are ringing. Yeah, the golf swings are swinging.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is JWP game. For sure.
Why does he do the golf swing thing? Is that a bail shout out?
Isn't it a baseball swing?
No way. So he doesn't even know what baseball is. His name is James Ward Prowse.
I don't know what they do.
He plays cricket, probably.
I don't know. It's a cricket. I don't know what the fuck, dude. I can't keep up with all these chavs and all their.
But yeah, Jimmy Ward Prowse is just gonna feast on these guys, right?
But I do think the Bowen pick is just good. You know, I mean, look good. They have a good run. You know, he looks reinvigorated like he did a couple of seasons ago. I mean, I don't know what was going on with him last year.
Yeah.
He just looks great. You know, I mean, the one thing with him that's like a little bit annoying is like bonus points are a little bit hard to come by. You know, we saw that last year. So, you know, we're looking at, you know, he's getting sevens when he scores his goal, and you know, they haven't kept a clean yet, but that should change. You know, they've had some fairly difficult fixture so far, with the exception of one or two. I think Bowen's a good pick, but I don't know. I mean, JWP is, I'm like pretty sure I'm going to have him on my team. Oops. I mean, I can't believe I'm there. I was like mocking this.
Yeah,
like, mocking game week three. It. Like, are
was
you kidding
last
me?
Last week, yeah.
But I mean, you know, when you're talking to me, I mean, look, just him playing with Paqueta and, or you know, if Suchek plays with him. Yeah, with Edson in playing every game sitting, like he does have a little bit more open play about him. And you know, I mean, the set pieces. I mean, why would they stop? You know, I don't. They're a team of absolute huge monsters with boys. I mean, it's like they should. This is like Pulis West Brom days to me, where it's just like I expect a goal from a set piece every game.
Yeah, absolutely. And as a Liverpool supporter watching them against my team, it was just like, oh my god, don't concede a corner there, like fucking foul, he's gonna be JWP free kick here, like nightmare. They were just getting heads on everything.
I mean, I see that just continuing. So he might be on pens. I mean, we have no idea who's on pens.
Yeah,
it could be literally any of four players, and you wouldn't be surprised, but you know, he might be on pens. We don't know what's going on training.
Yeah, I mean, the shout about him playing like a bit more further forward and that kind of stuff. I mean, he is doubling his underlying numbers from when he was on Southampton so far. Just straight up doubling the expected numbers.
Yeah, he was strictly a six. I mean, pretty much the whole year last year.
Yeah, him and Romeu most of the time just sitting back there.
Yeah, just pivot, holding. And there were, I mean, we've only seen very small glimpses of him playing more forward. When Ralph was there, I mean, I remember, like, you know, he'd play him for a few games in a row or something, trying something new, and then, you know, put him back in the trenches or whatever. But you know, I mean,
Sheffield United after, I mean, last game obviously colors these stats a lot, but most set play XG conceded, most set play shots conceded, both Sheffield United, 0.6 XG per game. And 6 1/3 shot per game allowed on set pieces.
That's insane. I mean, it also is by nature of they play 5-5-0 formation and they're in their own box the whole game. So they fucking let up
clearing
a lot.
For corners all the time.
All they're doing is sitting back and getting fucked. So
Jesus.
And
like, again, the money thing, I think, is just such an interesting like talking point through preseason, through now, and it'll pop up again later in the season, I'm sure. But, you know, like game week two, if I was like, dude, a 6 million JWP, that glue guy that you can just hold, we would both then like, you don't need fucking glue guys. It's the last thing you need this season. We all just have like 8 million mids on Arsenal and Man United, and they're great. And now it's just like, man, a 6 million guy that I never have to transfer out, regardless of fixture, who's just going to tick and get 180 points probably. Like, that sounds really fucking good now all of a sudden.
Yeah. JWP, good pick. Bowen, good pick. And a lot of good
Bowen,
picks.
So, Bowen looks
been
so
really,
good.
You're really impressed with West Ham this year. You know, I mean,
me too.
Been really down on Western for a while, I feel like. And, you know, the performances they've been putting in this year look... I mean, I just don't know how they all of a sudden like bought, like they have adults at the table making these decisions, because
Link us to some article someone else is in charge now.
One of the Dildo brothers dies and they immediately start buying like competent players.
They just probably have like a nerd son or nerd nephew who's just into analytics, and he's like, no, just Kudus is insane. Like,
yeah, Moyes keeps trying to buy fucking McTominay. Fridge, Elfrigo and McSauce, Elfrigo. And you know. for some reason they don't happen, like, I don't know why, guys, like, you know. And then,
oh,
they get
sorry
Kudus.
David, it fell through, but you know, we're getting this DM who can pass from Ajax, so you know, just shut your mouth.
All right, what else we got going?
Should we go to the end? But well, in the same game though, I mean, Liverpool are just
about,
and just the attack is just unreal. And, you know, so like Mo is obvious. I mean, Jabroni's question is interesting. He said, is Mo still worth it over Trips plus a Saka or Foden or Bowen, right? That age-old question of like, is the premium worth it over two guys? Which
Mo is non-negotiable at this point.
At this point, it's just do anything to get him in your team and figure out the rest later, I think.
And to clarify on why that's changed so dramatically for me is I feel like the points are very unreliable from a batch of players where I thought it would be so easy to, like, you're just fishing with fucking dynamite, where you had like Rash, Bruno, Odegaard, Saka, like fucking all, like, I was like, oh, there's going to be 7 or 8 midfielders who are all going to be very regularly returning and all look great. So that's going to be fine. And that is not at all been fine.
Yeah.
And the steadiness of the Mo points is just, you know, really nice. Also, not to go completely unrelated, is you're going to cap him a little bit here, you know, because, you know, aforementioned.
In the run.
Yeah, City run is diabolical. And, you know, I don't think Haaland's going to be, you know, I'm probably going to just cap him a couple times in the next couple months. So, you know, we're going to be looking elsewhere. Do they line up
with the bad ones? I haven't really looked.
Let me check. They have.
Yeah, I mean,
Bournemouth is 11.
Home NFO when he's at Old Trafford. That's a good one.
They have an 11. Luton. Yeah, that's an issue. That's annoying. Really annoying. Liverpool up Luton.
Yeah, Liverpool up Luton. They have home Bournemouth. Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing that's so tricky with Haaland, and this isn't really a this week discussion though, but you look at Arsenal and Game Week 8, and I'm like, they wiped the floor with Arsenal last season. Yeah. Like, it was like Haaland was licking his lips in that fixture. And I'm like, oh, am I not capping him there? Like, well, I might still cap him there.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk about City a little bit more with the tough run, but let's finish up on Liverpool. So, I mean, but other than Mo, though, I mean, there's to me still just no picks.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, I've been saying this all season.
Yeah, Darwin.
I've
said it in preseason.
Yeah, at some point, there's going to be a time where you can thread the needle and get like a 3 out of 4 Darwin starts. It might be right now. I think that now is not the worst time. He's playing so well. 2 tough games where you need his pace behind these high lines of Spurs and Brighton away games. It might be now. I mean, you know, Mishka obviously already brought him in, but you know, that, you know, that doesn't need to be explained. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I just think that also, like you were saying, the things that's changed and why Mo is so good. I mean, I thought Liverpool was going to be better, obviously, than last year, but I didn't expect this level of attack. I mean, every game, I'm just like surprised if we don't score 3. And it's just like, they're just playing full on basketball. Like, yeah, you can have your chances, but we're just going to be better and score more chances.
It's still fucking insane to me that you guys got Szoboszlai.
He's the fucking best player in the
world. We've been on him for like 3 years back when he was like, it's so insane that he's 22. Actually in Liverpool. He's always in my UCL fantasy team and I can't have him anymore. It's fucking he's so literally good.
You can play Fantasy Europa and get him. But yeah, he's ridiculously good.
Yeah, the midfield
attacking talent's insane. Curtis is so good. It's just like,
I mean, the depth and the front set. I mean, Gravenberch hasn't even gotten a kick yet. You know, who knows what dimension he's going to be in? But I mean, it certainly is an interesting. I mean, it's also sort of not talked about, but they bought no defenders. Like, they're just like, you know what? We're not going to even play defense. Like, we're going to just do everything in midfield. So it doesn't matter that we have four fit players. Like, they're going to play up here. Our midfielders are this good. They're not going to be able to lay a glove. And when they do, Allison will just bail us out we concede.
Yeah, I remember like Goodman talking about this on Double Pivot like preview, when, because Kaylee was like, they bought no defenders and their defense was the problem. And he was like, well, the bet they're making is the same as like the year that all the center backs got hurt, is like, actually it's a forward and midfield problem. It's not a center back problem. And they didn't buy any center backs that year, right? And then they just were fucking amazing again, you know, with fitness and the forwards and the midfielders. And they're just kind of making the same bet, you know, just like, no, our forward pressing, our midfield pressing, blah, blah, blah. Center backs are good enough to do the job. And so far, so good. You know, I'll say two insanely tough games coming up, but I'm hyped.
Yeah, I mean, Darwin is, you know, for a pick, not a pick. I mean, he's just a complete roll of the dice. Like, you have literally no idea what that spot will get you if you play him.
Yep.
And it's, I mean, the thing with me, with him, and just thinking about him conceptually from an FPL standpoint is like, when would you sell him or why would you sell him? Like, yeah. Unless if he gets hurt, it's like, what would have to happen? You know, because he's getting these, he looks like he's going to score at least a goal when he subs on, which dates back to last year, mind you,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
And, you know, I mean, it's, I don't know. Yeah, like, what do you, I don't know. Like, what do you make
it's
of him?
It's
like,
almost scary in a way, because you own him and you're just, the idea of selling him just feels like you're about to be punished every single time. Yeah. He could not start two games in a row and you're selling him and you're like, this is bad. He might just fuck a hat trick next game.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I mean, I wonder if wild card's the only time where you do get him or something, because then you can be like, I'm safe. All the rest of my picks I love, my bench I love, you know, yada, 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 or something like that. But he's going to sub on every game.
Bench doesn't matter. Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's going to sub on every game.
It's just a huge gamble. I mean, it would just be taking a huge gamble there.
I think now would be the time to take the gamble. I really do. If someone is like really feeling that.
You want me to have
that,
him over Alvarez?
It's interesting. Well, let's go to City. It seems like you have words about Alvarez, because I thought he would be one of the few nailed in your team. I'm surprised that you're not.
Well,
what changed?
I think Rodri, that's a big deal. You know, I don't know what they're going to be up to, you know, and I didn't
be worse,
really,
for sure.
I mean, I didn't really sit down and look at these fixtures, you know, until, you know, the other day when I'm looking at like, well, because then I was thinking like, well, Maddo, like I could maybe actually stretch to keep Foden. Like as of before my wild card, I have all, you know, I have triple attack. And I hear you, obviously the best team in the league by a lot, you know, do the difficult fixtures matter? I mean, to me, they matter a lot. Like, I don't think that they have four goal potential in those games. You know, I mean, sure, they could catch Arteta cold and just run amok on them. But generally, you know, against the good teams, you know, they're sort of reserved. You know, they sort of chill mostly and do the two goal thing. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, Alvarez, he's obviously still a good pick. He's cheap and they don't have any fit players. But I'm just, you know, the pile up, I don't know. Like, how much are they going to be playing? You know, what are they going to be trying to do each game? Is it going to just be another little like horses for courses thing? Like, Jack's back. I mean, you know, Bill shouldn't be out too long. He's getting Mateus Nunes in. You know, I mean, I was also a little bit startled in the NFL game, right? I mean, obviously they were down to 10, but, you know, even when they were up, it just felt like they were kind of like, they killed like
coasting.
30 minutes of that half. They weren't doing anything. Yeah. Like, really nothing. You know, they just, the goals they scored were just NFO just gifted them to them, basically, with a couple of just really.
Well, it was also incredible team play.
Yeah. I mean, they're like, where's Nuno Tavares? Like, go over there. Like, easy goal. Here it is. You know, here you go, guys. But, you know, those were really just like, they waited for that little moment and then they made the ball and they just bang. You know, they just scored two goals, you know, targeting that spot. But, you know, by and large, they were just kind of knocking it around and doing nothing. So I don't know. I mean, I'm just thinking more about it, you know, how short, you know, versus like you're talking, sitting here with Darwin, right? Talking about Liverpool is like, they don't have another gear. Like, they have a really easy fixture run and all they do is attack for the whole game, every game.
The whole game. Yep.
And, you know, that's good. That's attractive.
I mean, you could look at their fixtures and talk yourself into like, they have one bad fixture at City in Game Week 13.
Yeah.
Like, I just fully expect them to buy 60-ish, make, you know, sub on more forwards and go for it even harder in all of those games.
Yeah, I agree. So
yeah, it's an interesting one. I mean, even when you look at last season, right, and City were this juggernaut, unstoppable, it's like, you know, there was the 6 home Man United, 4 home Liverpool, 4 home Arsenal, 4 home Tottenham, right, all those games. But then when you look at their worst performing XG games, there's away Tottenham, there's home Newcastle, home Chelsea, away Liverpool, away Man United, lowest of all of them, you know? And so it's like, it's almost like a flipping a coin, at least how it was last season, of like, okay, is this the game they're going to score 6 or score 0 against Liverpool, right? Like, is this the game where they're going to go unconscious against Arsenal and just like not a competitive game for 1 second, or they're just going to sit on a 1-0 like they did home Chelsea. Yeah. And predicting that is impossible.
Yeah, it's not actually possible. Yeah, and there's just so much game context that you have to look at, and it's a nonsense. And, you know, what the opposition's doing, what's a good result in that moment of the year, right, and all, so many things. What are they doing? You know what I mean? Because a lot of, I feel like what, like, he takes what they give him, you know, and
yeah,
if they're not doing much, he's happy not to do much, and they'll just win 1-0. You know, but if they're doing stuff, then City's gonna completely ass fuck you.
Like, my counterpoint is the West Ham game. Like,
which one?
We got away with it. Yeah, this year. Like, we capped Son. Haaland only scored 1 goal. Haaland could have scored 5, and that would not have been unreasonable.
Yeah, for sure.
And they put up 4 XG. They had 30 shots that game. But like, if you asked me, no, I know, but if you asked me what that game is going to be like beforehand, I would have been very wrong. But my guess would have been,
yeah,
they go up 2-0, they just pass it around and keep the ball, and West Ham just can't do anything. West Ham just low block, never do anything, never, you know, leave their third, whatever. But they just didn't. They just kept relentlessly attacking. Like, Haaland was on some sort of mission to, you know, score a fucking hat trick. Yeah. So,
I mean, they have that in them.
I don't fucking know.
They have those kind of games where they're just going after, like, he had to blood vendetta against Moyes for something that he had to, like, I have to fucking teach this Scottish prick a lesson or something.
Yeah, maybe his dad had some beef with Moyes back in the day or something. I don't
know. But yeah, that was like a personal performance.
It was
like,
fucked. Yeah.
And I mean, the other thing too is, you know, in the back of my mind, obviously I love Foden, but, you know, I typically feel like Foden is better in hard games. Like, those are the games that he takes over and looks incredible. So if I'm almost like wanting to keep Foden over Alvarez, where I feel like Alvarez might go a little bit more missing in the difficult fixtures because he hasn't done it as much and he doesn't really know. I still don't know what to make of Alvarez, honestly, but
he's just so
trying
good
to talk myself into wanting to keep Foden.
I guess. I mean, we've kind of like drifted into more like City generic talk instead of Alvarez talk.
Yeah,
but
I
think making the case that he's not just an absolutely unbelievable FPL pick is totally wrong. I mean, he's just such a good pick. Even in the last game where he gets subbed off on 50 something because Rodri choke slammed MGW. It's like, even in that game, he could have double returned. By the time he came off, like, he was getting chances, he created a big chance, like, it was just, he's just part of everything. So, you know, back to what we were originally talking about, I was still surprised to not see Alvarez with his price, with his seemingly nailedness in your team. But I hear you. I mean, you can't have everyone, right? So,
I mean, sitting there being like, no, I'm going to put Darwin in instead of him, and it's like,
the risk factor of that is absurdly high, but, you know, might work.
Dumb shit works all the time.
And that is a podcast. No, we got to talk about the North London Derby also. Just a few questions from this one. Rob said, is Saka essential? He's hard to afford with Mo, Son, and Haaland. And then Son questions. Jitter said, is Son worth a hit in for Rashford? Or should I just wait for next week for Luton? And Kabamin said, if Matto is confirmed not fit, does that make Son a bad pick? Shite pick.
Well, you famously just got rid of Saka.
Yeah, which is just, I just regret it a lot. I mean, you know, am I going to get him this week? Don't know, but he's definitely like in my plans, very high on the list, I would say, to get. I mean, it's not that I didn't like him or don't rate him or anything. It was just like it was before Arsenal Man United game because I needed to do it for a price rise. And I was just like, he doesn't seem like he's in that good form. You know, Nate kind of backed that up. Arsenal were kind of like stumbling a little bit, but, you know, his points from game week one on, just 10, 3, 8, 4, 6, 13. It's like I got rid of Mo. It's like I had another Mo and I got rid of him. So, you know, obviously he's got to come back in my team. That was just a big mistake.
Yeah. I mean, pens are good. His two pens
are good.
One outside the box worldie. I mean, I still he's obviously incredible. I mean, it does feel a little bit like that though. I mean, where it's there's just so many dumb avenues for him, whether it's a fucking assist on a corner, they get a pen. He's obviously has the quality. The one thing though, he's just really not doing that much of it. Maybe we're going to start seeing a little bit more of it, is just getting good open play chances. I mean, he's just like, he's not getting into good shot taking positions very often.
In the games where Nate was saying that he's out of form, those were the games where he got the good open play chances and fucked them.
They were like headers and shit though, weren't they?
Yeah, but it was still like a header from 2 yards out. And there was one in, I think it was the Man United game also, when it was still 1-1 and he had it on his left foot from the penalty spot.
I guess what I'm saying is like, you know, yeah, there are a couple, obviously he's still an attacker and it's not going to be zero times. But I think generally speaking, like, him getting, you know, drifting in to receive a cross is less than, like, you know, him being more central, not the wing wide man in the buildup to get something in transition or something, or during a break opportunity. I just feel like he's been so peripheral in general in open play and like much more facilitator than Donger. So I don't know. I mean, like last year he had 14 goals. He has 3 this year. I mean, I don't see him getting more than, you know, like last year. I mean, look, okay, gets 200 points, but you know, it's just like the sustainability is, I'm still like not sure. Like it kind of reminds me of like the Bruno season when he was just like, he got, I don't know how, but he's getting points every game. Like that's kind of how I feel.
And
he
already has 2 pens and he only scored 2 pens in each of the last 2 seasons. Right. So he's, therefore on pace for more, kind of. But yeah, I mean, he's never been
more than... He should have 3. Odegaard took one.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could be on another goal. I mean, he's never been more than a quarter of an XG per 90 kind of guy. It just seems like he probably never will be at this point, you know?
But as long as he's playing this position. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good, but it's not fucking Mo, right? Like, he's never that, right? He's never going to just like... All of a sudden, he's taking 2 more shots a game and doubling his XG. It doesn't seem like that's likely. But yeah, the avenues are just insane. The corners, the quality of the team, the quality of his teammates, the pens, the assists. You know, it's all there.
Yeah, I mean, the assists are something that is interesting. Like, I mean, I could imagine him having a 20-assist year.
He could,
I mean, maybe not necessarily this year, but... Like you mentioned, the quality around him, I mean, Jesus accepting, but all by and large, you know, there's a lot of assists there. But yeah, I mean, Saka just seems like a very obvious pick. You just don't have to think about. Arsenal is starting to play a lot better.
Yeah, that's also a factor, right? It's like Jesus came back and they're playing better and more fluid, I think.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, the Martinelli's miss, but, you know, their group in Champions League is really easy. Like, it just feels like Saka's just an incredible pick. And he kind of snuck out of the little bit of, you know, not sure what he's up to with, you know, a really good performance against Spurs mostly. And he's just got everything. So,
I mean, I only watch highlights in that game, but he was fucking unreal.
Oh my God.
He was so good that game.
Yeah, he played well.
What about the other side?
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's just like he's coming into his own sort of like sense bombing pigeon fucking idiot out, putting him up top. You know, he's just, I think he's just learning kind of where he needs, what he's supposed to be doing. And him and Madison are starting to have a better understanding. And it does suit him, you know, playing centrally. Because he's sort of, to me, like he used to sort of just be like straight line runner or diagonal line runner. And I'm just so fast, I'm going to be. But he actually is like really, really clever in his movements in the final third when they have
just look at the first goal against Arsenal, right?
Like, I mean, even back to like the, I think he's just evolving. You know, he's not what he used to be, just fast. You know, we're just going to break at the halfway line and I'm going to run. And playing striker, I feel like he's just going to keep getting better. You know, I mean, it's a real no brainer pick to me still. As long as he's playing striker, he's
I completely agree. And the finishing,
and he should be on pens.
The finishing matters, you know, with these kind of guys, right? He doesn't need to get as many chances or as many good chances, and you can see what he can do. I mean, that first finish looks like insane. Sort of he tapped it. It was insane.
That was a messy goal, honestly.
Was very messy kind of goal. Just a near post run. He just like bends it softly in on the inside
absolutely,
of the post. It was
gorgeous. Insane goal.
And just look at the fixtures, right? Yeah. Home Liverpool. Decent game for him. Like he's always scored. I think he's fucking scored every game against Liverpool in my life. And then he's at Luton, home Fulham, at Palace, home Chelsea, at Wolves. Give me a break. He is just an auto pick. And I don't care about Matto. Like Matto getting, he can get as many fucking scans as he wants. I mean, Son is still a good pick. How annoying is Matto with these scans? He is such a fucking baby. Like he's the kid when you're like growing up, he gets like a sniffly nose. He's at the school nurse. Every time you walk by the school nurse, the door's open. Matto is just sitting there crying. That's Matto. He goes to urgent care for anything. He's like constipated for one day. He goes to urgent care. His girlfriend's like, "You're fine." He's like, "I'm not fine." That's Matto. It's like, "I need a scan. It really hurts." And just like, "Okay, dude." Oh, fucking bad. But yeah, I mean, it's fine. Son is good without him also, I think.
Matto, man. Good pick. What about Matto though, in a FPL context standpoint?
Great pick.
Yeah.
Great long-term hold pick.
I mean, he's also similar where it's just things run through him. It's just like a bit interesting. I mean, it's where are the goals coming from for him? You know, that's my one reservation with Matto. It's just, you know, how is he actually going to be scoring goals?
I mean, he still shoots a lot. They're just bad shots, but that's like his MO, kind of. That's just like his MO.
But they're not even they're like a different kind of bad because they're all getting blocked. They just get blocked. Mm. So I feel like the bad shots he used to take with Leicester, which was, yes, he takes bad shots all the time, were from distance that he would just fucking goal kick, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, at least if he didn't get under it and he did the other one, then it's like, what, top bins, you know, and the clang bang in off the corner of the bar clang or something, bang. You know, but
I think it's still the same. Like, I mean, I honestly think it's the same. It's just, you know, it's a replace hitting into for a goal kick with getting blocked. I mean, it's like if you take bad shots most of the time, it's going to look bad. And, you know, the times you score it, it's going to be great. He's also getting more touches in the box, more touches in the final third than he ever had, right? So, you know, he only has that one goal. Who was that against? Like Bournemouth, maybe?
Also not a that was a hard chance to finish.
Yeah, it was hard. Yeah, it was like kind of behind him touch, while he's like running the other way. Yeah,
it was a very narrow corner from the aim to Ronaldo.
And then his other goal is the absolute typical Matto goal, right? Yeah. Like he passed, he cut inside, and he just bent it into the corner, right? And I just feel like there's gonna be he scores that'll 10 a year, and games. He's gonna do that 8 more times. You know?
Yeah. I mean, probably. You know, probably.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. So yeah, he's a good pick. Probably fine. I don't know. I mean, he played on. His knee, obviously it looked bad. Like it looked like it got fucking completely dislocated or something, but clearly not. And you know, the scan will confirm that it's not injured because that's all they do when he does them. So yeah, Matto. And yeah, like you said, right, the fixture run. I mean, it's just
the fixture run. The way the team plays. Yeah. The
other thing too, I think that's a little bit is, I mean, BJ got his first start.
Looks good.
I think it looked amazing. Like,
I mean, I only watched the highlights, so I'm happy to hear what you saw of him, but in highlights, he looked great.
Yeah, and I don't like him. I mean, I've been very, you know, I don't think neither of us really have, but I think we were pretty critical of him last year watching him play for NFO. And, you know, but all that said, you know, he played for NFO, and you know there was a lot of stress on every single time he did anything because they got so few times to do anything. Yeah. And you know, I mean, him when he can kind of instead of being someone the enemy has like game plan for, someone who can sort of just fall in. I mean, he's an outlet. He's so fast.
He's one of the faster players in the league.
Yeah, he just gives them a different dimension, and he stretches the opponent in a different way. He might, you know, just not be good enough. You know, I think that's what both of our concerns are with him, right? Where he's just, he's maybe just not that good. Like he might just be Dan James, you know, a little better than Dan James or, you know, Adama Traore, and that's all he is. I have more time for him though, because he does have some good technical qualities. Like,
well, and that's part of the, thing that having like good vibes around the team does, right?
Yeah.
It's like, and just, you know, seeing it, giving him a chance. Like, I didn't see him starting that game, right? I'm like, no fucking shot he's starting, right? Yeah. Like, Manner's doing pretty well, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But he gets in, he gives him a shot, he plays well.
He was so important for them.
Yeah, he was so important. And, you know, in hindsight, injured, though,
which sucks.
It was a,
he could be out for another month.
Yeah, he might be hurt. But in hindsight, I mean, like, it's a huge purchase that they made there, too, right? Yeah. Because three games in, their left winger is now their striker. Mm-hmm. And, like, they got Manner on a free and they got Brennan. And, like, these guys are going to have to play real minutes all of a sudden, right? Because they're down a winger. So, yeah, I'm Brennan curious. Spurs, fun to watch. Very fun to watch.
Yeah.
How high scoring is that Liverpool Spurs game going to be? Like, what the fuck is that?
Like 3-2 or something. Kulusevski's had a really weird season, dude. I don't know what he's up to this year.
Up and down.
He plays like every minute that he can, any minute he can handle. And he looks like the worst player on the field most games to me.
And then he does something amazing.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
I don't know. I mean, he keeps every game. It's like he has 15 minutes where he's like, oh, he looks good. And then he has 15 minutes. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like the bread, you know, the Gordon Ramsay. It's like, but it's like within the same game. It's like,
I mean, I feel like he's very predictable and is like trying to beat a man. It's just like he telegraphs all of his body movements. Like he, you know, they always say like, oh, dip of a shoulder. Like, well, he literally dips his shoulder before he moves. He's like, I'm going this way. And the defender just like takes it off him. It's like, what the fuck, dude? But yeah, fun game.
All right. That's good.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if there's anything else. I mean, we didn't mention the double. Is there anything there?
I don't want to talk about that.
There's that. And then we still have Thursday pod to go more over your wild card, I think. I'll move some of these questions into the Thursday pod and we'll take it on there.
Okay.
Let me slap passes.
For your moves, have you thought about it at all? Or?
I haven't thought of like specific moves, but I have definitely been playing around with you know, a mini wild card, three frees and a hit. Just like Chilwell, Henry.
Three frees?
Yeah, I have three frees for the cheap price of -4. You know, like something along the lines of Chilwell, Henry, and midfielder probably out. You know, maybe get a Newcastle defender or two, and then a midfielder I like whether it's a Bruno downgrade or a Raz downgrade. I have entertained like those same two defenders in like Wissa to Alvarez.
Yeah, what do you feel? How you feel about Wissa and Bumo over there?
Well, I mean,
just casually blanking their lives away, playing terribly.
I didn't mind at all after Palace, Bournemouth, and Newcastle because I thought they played great. They looked good. They put up numbers. You know, that doesn't bother me. That Everton game was horrific. I mean, they were awful. Like, you were DMing me. Like, oh, they, you know, Brentford play to the level of their opponent. But they played way below the level of Everton that game. So, yeah, it's shaky. You know, I think I'll probably just hold them for a couple more. I think patience has been, like, good for me. You know, last season and a bit this season too, but
4 blanks in a row.
It's a lot of blanks.
Yeah,
it's a lot of blanks. And not having Alvarez, you know, at Wolves, don't like that. Well, don't like
wasn't
that.
Wasn't too bad when you didn't have him fucking home NFL. So
yeah, I just need Calvin Phillips to throw his arms around someone's neck, and then we're cooking with gas. but yeah, I don't know. Probably some triple move, but I don't really know yet. It's funny that I've red flagged Henry dropping in price, by the way. What the fuck is that all about? I thought red flag
was
not supposed
to. Yeah, but he was up to... Oh, he did drop. I see what you're saying. Yeah, but he went up.
Yeah, I thought the red flag prevented the drop. But
he didn't lose anything on him anyway.
But like, I've red flagged Henry out for the fucking season in my team. Expected back June 1st. And I'm still looking at like Chilwell and Wissa and Bruno. I'm like, I need to get these guys out of my team. I have someone who's not going to play for the rest of the season confirmed. I'm like, well, I can hide him.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
But let me slap past. We got two new Patreon signups. We got Kristen Hugi and Andreas Lindholm. Slumped. Yes, if you get in there. I think that's right. It, man.
Cool, man.
So Do we have a normal week this week?
Well, there's midweeks, but there's no Friday deadline. So no,
Friday's huge.
Next week's kind of fucked up because there's the double on Tuesday and there's a Monday game. So there's only one game on Sunday.
Wait, what is this scheduling?
There's probably maybe someone died in England or something. I don't know.
There's six games at the 10 a.m. slot on Saturday.
Yeah.
One game Sunday, one game Monday, one game Tuesday.
Yeah. I think I might have to pull a trump card on Lauren and send her off to gymnastics without me.
Yeah, take the kid.
I don't want to miss a minute of the Spurs Liverpool game.
That's going to be a fun game.
But anyway, yeah, so I think we'll just do Thursday normal my life, and then Friday we'll do the Rate My Team stream.
Yep. Live stream back on. All right, dude, any last words?
See you tomorrow, baby.
See you tomorrow. Check us out at fmlfield.com. Follow us on Twitter at fmlfield. sportsbj.com/fmlfield. Subscribe with me.
Sports Social Podcast Network.